Hey, this is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
This is Jochen Graf.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood,
ball's going to bounce down. It's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night. It is the Unused Substitutes, your Rowdies Talk Radio, your Green and Gold Gospel, live on Radio St. Pete, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves, brought to you by a couple guys on different parts of the always interesting state of Florida. We haven't had to switch to wearing masks during the broadcast yet, but you never know what's going to happen during on a week-to-week basis here. Steven, how are you doing?
I was on cloud nine waiting for the weekend to arrive. The weekend where 2020 starts to resemble a normal year. And then the tragic news struck this week and has kind of put things into perspective a little bit. And I think it would be remiss if we did not lead off the show with a very simple that our thoughts and prayers are with Mary and Dieter Karnetz. They are absolutely pillars of the Rowdies supporter and fan community. We found out this week that Dieter had been involved in a car accident, was in surgery. He's made it through that surgery. He did make it through this morning. Apparently he also tested positive for a COVID test of some, obviously there's a couple different types of COVID tests. I'm not sure which one gave immediate results, but apparently he tested positive for that as well. So that's making everything that much more complicated. But without question, you have to lead with that, because our thoughts and prayers are with them. And the fact is I think that that's going to end up being a rallying cry for us on the show. It's going to be a rallying cry for the guys on the field and everybody else going into this weekend, because this weekend has to be for them. Like, it has to be. There's no other way to get around that at this point.
Yeah, I posted on Twitter, but I just want to throw out there, like Dieter's, honestly, as far as I can remember, is the first person I met in the what has become the known as the hashtag Rowdies family outside of the people that I went to games with. Because the first year when the Rowdies played at Steinbrenner, there's a bar that's behind home, like under the stands behind home plate. And the team would give out like passes. You could go down there like second half or whatever, late in second half. And the players would come into the bar after the game and you could hang out, talk to the players, you know, have a few drinks, whatever. It was kind of like a little VIP bonus perk for season ticket holders or you know, people that at that point they were trying to convince to buy season tickets, like myself. So I ended up getting passes to go down there and went to go buy a frosty beverage after one of the games, only to find out that the bar was cash only, and I didn't have any cash on me. Like, I have a debit card. What do you need cash for? And Dieter stepped up and paid for the beer, and we started chatting then, and he never would let me pay him back. And on future games, when I would bring cash, he still bought me a beer after the games. So, yeah, like it sounded really bad last night. Sounds a little bit better today. You're still A lot of stuff to get through. So our thoughts and prayers and everything go out to them. And hopefully they'll keep us posted and on how he's doing. All right. So with that aside, getting the, now we'll get to the lighter material of the evening. First of all, I'm going to throw it. We haven't done this in forever, and it's one of the perks, and we need to. And now that we're kind of getting back to the regular season, we'll start it again with our Patreon producers, our executive producer for the show. Tonight is going to be Mitchell Loster. Mitchell, thank you for your monthly contribution, your ongoing contribution to help keep us afloat. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We finally know, I think, everything there is to know. We have a schedule. We have a playoff format. We know who's in the group. We have TV news to share. Like, there's all kinds of stuff to go over.
There's news. It feels like a soccer season again. Oh, God, I love summer. I'm glad it's back.
All right, so to start off, we're going to run through, according to this graphic, what is the Tampa Bay Rowdies Zozo fixtures. We got to bring Zozo back. It's still Zozo.
Yes. Year of the Zozo.
And we'll start with July because schedules are usually a smart thing to go through in timeline order. This weekend, Saturday, 7:30 p.m., the Rowdies will host Atlanta United 2. Next Friday, the 17th, the Rowdies will host at 7 p.m. North Carolina FC. Saturday, the 25th, time to still be determined, will make their first road trip to Birmingham, and which will be an out-of-group game, not a non-group H game. And then the Rowdies will come back home July 31st, 7:30 p.m. to host the Charleston Battery.
And then kicking off in August, you got a Friday night fixture on August 7th against Miami FC. Now, I will pause this for a second because with that, we have a home game against Charleston, but we do have that away game against Birmingham going before that. We don't know at all if there's going to be traveling supporters allowed for the Birmingham game. From what I've been able to follow on their social media feeds, they are having fans at Birmingham, but we don't know what the conditions of that will be, if they will allow people to travel, because hypothetically, like, I would potentially be interested in traveling to that game because that's kind of what I do and that's who I am. But I don't know. I don't know. We know for a fact that Miami, on the other hand, will absolutely not have anybody.
Right.
Miami is going to be closed doors, period. So figured it was a good stop, good point to point that out, good stopping point there. To continue on, we have our first true midweek game after that Friday match, and that's going to be a Wednesday night game on the 12th at Atlanta United. And then we do a straight back home and immediately hit the pitch again on Sunday, the 16th. We are hosting Miami. So that means we do basically play Miami twice in 9 days. That's obviously an important thing to point out. Back to normal scheduling, of course, after that. We have a home game the following week against Atlanta on the 22nd. And then on the 29th, we are in Charleston. Again, we don't know anything about potentially having away fans. I would probably bet against it in most of these cases, except for maybe Birmingham might allow it, because like I said, they've been kind of loose on things. They're kind of like what our plans are being the Rowdies. They're kind of like what the Rowdies' plan is for August going forward, assuming that we actually do the plan for August going forward, and that doesn't change because, of course, that's still fluid. But we'll have to see how that plays out.
All right, moving into September. Another midweek game, September 2nd, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. at home. Miami FC comes to town. The Miami FC. I don't want to get yelled at. And then the Rowdies will turn around.
Yelled out. They don't deserve the
Then the team will turn around after that game and head their longest trip of the year. This will be one of two flights. I believe Birmingham's a flight. is over 500 miles. We'll head up to Pennsylvania to take on Philadelphia Union 2 on Sunday, September 6th at 7:30 p.m. Or no, it's home game. That's not a flight at all. So you've got a home stand there Wednesday, Sunday, and then hit the road for the rest of the month. Friday the 11th at Charleston, Wednesday the 18th. That can't be right. That's got to be 16th. I'm looking at numbers here because Wednesday wouldn't be 7 days after Friday. So it's got to be Wednesday the 16th.
Yeah, I would think.
Unless the 11th is wrong.
I don't think you can read the graphic because the graphic is definitely a 6.
Oh, I'm going to blame it on the graphic. It's definitely not my eyes at my age. Definitely not. Definitely not.
You can't read the paper. Anyways.
This is why I don't teach reading or math, because it's reading the numbers. yes, it's September 16th. It's a Wednesday at Atlanta. And then Saturday, the 28th. So there is going to be a little bit of a bye week in there because they've got 12 days between games in September to go on the road, finish out the month. The last game against the Miami. And that's it for September.
Finally, the last regular season game that we have will be the first week of first weekend in October. So October 3rd, we will round out our condensed 16 game schedule with the Charleston Battery. Now, at that point, playoffs will begin. Probably October 10th, from what we can gather. It'll probably be specifically on weekends. I don't think you're going to see a midweek match like we've had historically. I think those play-in matches, I think, were midweek games. We're not going to have that this year. It looks like everything will be on the weekends. And Halloween night, October 31st, I believe right now is tentatively scheduled to be the championship game. Which, of course, potentially can change depending on TV contract deals and things like that. Like if ESPN wants to bump it to Sunday the 1st, that might always be a possibility. But it's going to be that weekend regardless for the final game or the final championship game of this year. So thoughts on the schedule? I will say this. I think it's a great schedule. I'm pleased with who we have matched up with outside of our group. I can handle that. I think it's a good, solid couple of teams. I also love the fixture schedule in general. The fact that there's only three midweek games.
Yeah, three Wednesday games.
But I absolutely love the fact that we have that nice, 12-day break right at the end of the year, or right at the end of this 2.5 months, 3 months. That's fantastic to be able to get a slight breather right before playoffs start.
Right. And not to go back to you turning Atlanta into potential champions last week. Of the three Wednesday games, two are at Atlanta. So if you're gonna pick one place to go on a road midweek out of the group that we have, you're gonna pick Atlanta. Yep. And the other one is home. It's a home game against Miami. So,
Miami. Mm-hmm.
Not too bad of a midweek setup.
I think this is a really solid game or a really solid schedule. I honestly, like I said, there's nothing that stands out to me about this schedule that worries me. I think that's the big thing right now.
No, I mean, when you look at the we've got the Friday, the little two-game road trip where you play on Friday in August, the first game in August where you go on the road to Miami and then Wednesday Atlanta, two road games stretch within 5 days, but because of this regionalized schedule, the travel's really not bad at all. It's not that big a deal. They'll play Friday, be home Saturday, they'll leave probably Tuesday to go to Atlanta. I don't think it's going to be a big issue to have a short turnaround like that.
I agree. I wouldn't think that would be too much of a hassle on anybody in particular. It's funny because I'm looking up one thing real quick here as we're live on air, because I'm looking to see how Miami. Because obviously we play Miami basically twice in that 7-8 day stretch. Mm-hmm. What I'm curious about here and what I'm looking up is what are the route? What is Miami doing on that Wednesday fixture between games here? What was let's see here. Compare this real quick here. So Miami is on the 7th and the 16th, and they do not play a game on that Wednesday. So that's going to be one disadvantage, is that particular three stretch. There you go. Okay. That's what I kind of figured, because when we read it off and we're going over it, that was the one stretch that kind of worried me. We play Miami at Miami on the 7th. The Rowdies have a midweek game at Atlanta, and then we come home to Al Lang on the 16th against Miami again, and they do not play a midweek game. So that's going to probably be, I would argue, the toughest stretch of the season, mm-hmm. having back-to-back games essentially against the same opponent for them, but we're having a match in between that. I think that will probably be the most difficult stretch, because it's going to be And obviously we're going to touch on rosters and roster building and formational tactics a little bit later. But, and of course, Jake had a fantastic article going over, reacquainting everybody with the team this week on the website. It's going to be difficult managing the squad and managing minutes in this type of, with the reduced numbers that we have already, with a stretch like that. In August, that's going to be tough. Like, Neil's got a very weird job ahead of him when it comes to that three games specifically.
I mean, if there's anyone who is prepared to deal with weird situations as a head coach, I think Neil's had a pretty good crash course in the last year and a half about over it.
Absolutely. I mean, you would think. I mean, is there any coach that has had a more odd way of becoming a head coach than what Neil has had to deal with since he came on since we asked him to just kind of take over the role?
I think you'd have to have a coach get fired at halftime of a game, and the player, you know, basically the Varsity Blues situation where the head coach doesn't come back out after halftime, and the broken-legged quarterback takes over as the, like, coach slash offensive coordinator and go to win the game. Like, that would be the only thing that would be maybe slightly more weird than everything that happened around Neil taking the job.
Agreed.
All right. So the other thing, and some of it we'd heard about for a while, but it finally became official today, with the need to get sports programming onto sports channels, USL and the Rowdies have found themselves some opportunities. We know some fun TV situations going on for the first 2 weeks. Tell me a little bit about it, Steven.
So with the game this Saturday, it was announced just this afternoon, but again, as Matt pointed out, we had kind of been hinted at this being a possibility this week. Not only is the game going to be on ESPN Plus, not only is the game potentially, if you've been watching the streams on Twitch with Nuno Bianchi with Rowdies Gaming, they've been talking about potentially having a group kind of do a group watch on Twitch as well. We also found out today that Fox Sports Sun is going to be broadcasting the game this weekend, which is amazing. This is great news. It's the first match on the network since the rebrand. It's something that I think I've heard at some point or another everybody mention, mm-hmm. Fox Sports Florida or Fox Sports Sun, hoping one day that we would have a chance to broadcast on that network. It's happening this week. So undoubtedly, if you are at home this weekend, make sure you have a TV just kind of on the channel to make sure we've got live numbers and boost the numbers. If you're going to watch it with Nuno on Rowdies Gaming, or you're watching it on ESPN Plus at a friend's house, you know, ignoring CDC guidelines about trying to congregate with people that you don't live with, make sure that you're DVRing this or something. Like, make sure they get numbers, because from what we understand, there's been some hesitancy when it comes to Fox Sports broadcasting Rowdies games for fear of lack of interest and it not being worth it to them to put that programming on their schedule, which of course is a legitimate fear. I mean, if you are a, you know, TV company, that's the driver of your business, is who's coming and who's intentionally coming onto your show and onto your channel. So I don't fault them at all for that. I think that makes perfect sense that they would maybe potentially show some of that hesitancy. If you are a Rowdies fan and listening to this show, you have to make sure that you are making sure people know that it's on Fox Sports Sun, because we really need a partner that we can rely on as Rowdies fans to make sure that our games are on an easily accessible channel when it comes to Rowdies games. And I think this is a perfect and an amazing opportunity to try and prove that.
Yeah, when the news broke today, and actually, you know, going back to when we first kind of heard the whispers about it a little while ago, I was like, great, the first game we're going to have on, like, statewide television is a game that almost nobody can be at. But then if you think about it, and I thought about it this afternoon, it takes me a little while to have ideas sometimes, this is the best opportunity, because this is how you, like, almost nobody can go to this game. Unless you're related to a player, or we'll talk about some of the other conditions in a few moments. Like, this is where you see how much demand there is to watch the game. And you know, whenever normality is restored, if normality is ever restored, then obviously, you know, local numbers would go down. But if they can make this something that there's interest in different parts of the state in watching, that's a big deal. So yeah, like you said, like if you're going to the game, cool. You got a golden ticket and you're in. That's great. Set your DVR for Fox Sports Sun. If you have ESPN Plus, watch it on Fox Sports Sun anyway. Or I don't know. Just, we need to make sure that there's numbers, good numbers for them to see, because. You know, the Rays have a big broadcast deal with them. The Rays, you know, deliver good numbers, as we're frequently told. Let's get this as programming on there as well. It would be great. Like, you know, we had, you know, various local broadcast outlets before that didn't have much of a reach, but this is a statewide broadcast. This could be a pretty big thing. So, I've already got my DVR set. And then next week, it's going to be one of the national all the games are on ESPN Plus, but next week, and from what I've been told, the Rowdies would have been on Fox Sports Sun again next week, except that they're already on ESPN 2. National broadcast for the game against North Carolina. I hear there's some plans in the work for a we all know the quality of TiVo displays that Ralph's Mop does, for a display to be done for the broadcast. So, you know, these July games are going to be next to impossible to get to. So tune in and you can see that stuff there as well also. All right. So we've got the schedule. We've got the TV information. Let's talk about the new stadium. I we'll call it the new normal for the stadium, because it's going to change month by month, maybe.
Yeah.
Depends. Here is the current plan for the three home games in July. The games are closed. You can't just show up and go to the game. Except for special guests. There's going to be a certain number of Ralph's Mob members, of Skyway Casual members, and player families who are admitted to the game, to, you know, player families because it's their families, and the supporters groups to create some kind of atmosphere. I know there's been discussions going on in the Mob's Discord and between the Skyway Casual groups about what exactly that atmosphere will look like, because people will be spaced out. There will be room and space in between people. I was just thinking today, if everyone could learn the lyrics to that Dave Matthews Band song, the Space Between, that could be a good one to do.
Yes, for the game. That's hilarious.
they are anticipating, they are hoping to be able to allow a limited number of spectators. I believe I saw up to 1,200 beginning August 16th versus the Miami, which would be the one of two home games in August. You will be given a specific gate to enter and exit, and possibly even a time slot to enter and exit those gates by. There will be temperature checks. I've heard it's going to be wrist checks, which I had to do at the local library. You just hold your wrist up to this little scanner, and it says, mine told me I was safe, which was nice to hear. I was like, thank you, machine, for validating me. If your temperature is anywhere around 100 degrees, you will most likely not be allowed in the stadium. There might be a go sit over there, and because it's Florida, it's summertime, things can happen. And that's why they're not doing, I heard, why they're not doing the forehead checks, which I can say, you know, I've had a forehead check done with like a little laser scanner when I've gone to work. And I clocked in at about like 96 degrees, but I had to drive about a half hour to work and I had the AC blowing on me the entire time. So possibly that was the reason. But they're going to do the wrist checks, which will hopefully be more accurate for a person in a Florida summer. When you are not in your assigned seat or your assigned location, I don't know if they're using the standing section or not, if they're going to use the seats for this, you will be
The standing section will be available, and I believe from what I understand, that will be filled first.
Okay.
And then they'll kind of populate from there, depending on the number of requests.
All right, so when you're not in your assigned seat, when you're not in your assigned area, you will be required to wear a face mask, wear one into the stadium, to your seat. There are going to be specific pathways kind of marked off to travel to and from bathrooms, I believe I saw as well. So the mask will be mandatory when you're out of your seat. You are encouraged to wear them during the entire game. There will be social distancing maintained per CDC guidelines, 6 feet between people, unless it's somebody like from your household, something like that. Limited number of simultaneous restroom users, and the stalls will be cleaned after each use. If I had to pick one thing that I think should... should remain in place after this is all over, that's probably going to be the one. And hand sanitizer stations will be installed in and around the stadium. There will be limited movement in the stadium. It's not going to be like it has been in the past, where if you're in the midfield section, you could go over to the main stand, or if you're in the bar area, the Bayshore Lounge. There's no kids rolling down the berm. So you're going to be restricted to, like, your area of the stadium. Oh, that would be fantastic if they could actually put dividers up between the urinals in the men's bathroom. Like, it's...
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's...
Like, that's something, if you're going to do CDC guidelines and put up all these barriers at grocery stores and all that kind of stuff, maybe this is an opportunity to to install dividers up between the urinals. I'm just saying.
When Publix takes them down... The rowdy should buy them and put them around. Yeah, you know, I'm laughing because anytime you read about like old stadiums in England, like say before the Premier League, the bathrooms are basically described as a trough, and everyone just goes into the trough. If you've been in the bathroom, at least the men's room at Al Lang, like it's
pretty much that way.
It's the original bathrooms. It's It's maybe a step up, but not much of a step from having a trough.
Yeah. Public bathrooms at Al Lang are, about that.
Now, if you can get over to the bathroom trailer, that's a good experience over by the midfield section. That's high class.
Yes.
You come out of that thing and you feel like you're an important person.
By comparison, yes.
All right. So that is the stadium policies. There's also some important issues. If you're a season ticket holder, you should have gotten an email about it this week. You probably have already made a choice. But if you haven't, and if you aren't, then here's what's going on for season ticket holders.
So we did get the email. And I know for a fact that there are some people that didn't quite grasp what the choices were. So we wanted to make a point to review this on the broadcast here as well, kind of break it down for some folks. So I think it's actually easier to start with option Bravo. Option B is just simply if you paid for a 2020 season ticket, you get a straight refund if you want to request a straight refund. Now, mind you, there is a deadline to that, and that is Thursday, July 16th at 5 p.m. If you want a refund for your 2020 season ticket, you have to contact the Rowdies and make sure that you have requested it, because if you have not, it automatically jumps into option A. Now, option Alpha, what does that mean and what does that look like? So, option Alpha is your payment for the 2020 season tickets automatically is transferred to become your 2021 season ticket. That is the primary thing. If you choose to take that option, you will get two particular items specific for you, a Sunshine City scarf and a commemorative custom designed jersey for each account on file as a part of that transfer from 2020 to 2021. Now, the other thing this will do for the games in 2020, you will receive two tickets. To two of the games for this remainder of this season. Now, why that's important is the fact that in July, of course, as we know, as we just went over, there are no games that are open to the public. So those tickets that you would be receiving if you chose option Alpha, you would be getting two of the five games in the remaining season, assuming they're even open to the public with all five of these starting in August on August 16th, you would be getting two of the five of those for free, is essentially how that kind of plays out. So that, and again, so that's, and essentially in a nutshell, that is the option Alpha is pretty much what it is. Again, you have to make a choice. If you want the full refund, you have to make the choice by the 16th. That is a hard deadline. Otherwise, everybody goes into option A. If you choose to do the refund, it does not put you in jeopardy during renewals for season tickets for the original seats that you purchased. You will still get the early access to pre-sales for 2021 when it comes down to having that period open back up. So you're not going to get penalized in that way, in any way, shape, or form. Again, that's reflecting the fact that there are people in the community that obviously are in a pinch. They're not going to punish you if you happen to need the income that you had put into the season tickets this year. They're not going to punish you if you need that money back. So I think it's a great move by the club itself. It's a very thoughtful move by the club itself. The important thing to note about 2020, everything is subject to change. Mm-hmm. Everything. We're having a test run in July to see kind of just how things go. In fact, if we're being honest, July is game by game. If things happen and don't go the way the club or the city wants them to this weekend, we might not get a chance to even be in the stadium for that ESPN2 game, you know, a week and a half from now. So there's no, like, everything is fluid at this point. Everything is fluid. The other thing that's important to note, and wildly important to note, is that no seat in the building is guaranteed. I don't care where you bought your season ticket this year. I don't care if you have sat in the same freaking seat for the last 6 years. You will probably almost guaranteed not be in that seat if you go to a game in 2020 because of what's going on with distancing. It's just not feasible to make that expectation.
There's a good chance that if you go to multiple games this year, you won't be in the same seat twice.
That Yeah, that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. I mean, even if you're a supporter, there's no guarantee that you're going to be in the same spot in the standing area. There's no guarantee you're going to be even in that same spot. I think the only person that's guaranteed in the entire building right now to potentially be in the same spot for 2020 all year is Aaron Rettkies, because he's going to be on a drum and the drum's going to be in the same spot the entire season.
I thought you were going to say Neil Collins.
He is. Well, yeah, but that doesn't count. Aaron Rettkies is the exception to a non-Rowdies staff member to not be moving the entire year. He is going to be in the same spot because of the drum. So I think if you are not a Rettkies, you are subject to change as far as all of that.
Something else I forgot to throw out there with the stadium procedures. You will be allowed to bring in your own food and drink. Drinks non-alcoholic, I believe, is the case, because all the concession stands will be closed. There will be no open stands for food, beverages, whatever. So bring your own stuff with you, which honestly, yes. I love. Sure, I love that idea.
Oh, I love it too. I'm very excited about that because there's no limit to it either. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, I personally drink about 3 to 4 bottles of water a game. Like, I go through that much water in a game, or, you know, maybe I might substitute a soda or something like that every now and then. But like, I go through that many bottles. So this makes me very excited because it saves me a lot of money in reality, at least for July.
Like, catch me outside Al Lang walking up with a shopping cart.
I know, right? I should like, now, of course, it's funny because you have to keep in mind that if you are bringing in food or drinks, you must have a clear bag to put all that stuff in. Mm-hmm. That is part of the recommendation as far as the stadium rules. So don't expect to come up with a lunchbox, because they're not going to let you in. Technically speaking, it has to be a clear and open container that you're going to bring your food and drinks in. So keep that in mind. If you have to go do some quick shopping before Saturday, get that taken care of, knowing that rule does exist.
All right. Anything else for any of that? I think we've covered the stadium and the season. The deadline, did you mention, I know you mentioned there was a deadline. Did you say when it was?
I've said it twice. I'll say it again. If you want to have
a refund. So.
Yeah, I got that.
What?
I'm not relevant enough to be listened to, so I'm fully expecting of you ignoring me. No, if you want a refund for your 2020 season tickets, you have to have it in by the 16th. We've said it twice. That's the third time.
Week from tomorrow.
It is a hard deadline. Otherwise, you will automatically be enrolled in option alpha. And that deadline is 5 p.m. I will say this, personally speaking, I think if you are not in desperate need of the cash, option alpha is a great, great option. I think they did very, very well by the season ticket holders in 2020. I think what they have offered as kind of a reconciliation project, as it were, I think it's fantastic. So I encourage you, if you haven't messaged them, I would just, even if you intend on doing that operation, if you're doing option alpha, I would message them anyways. I wouldn't rely on the rollover, because I think it would help send a message of encouragement about having a lot of people actively take that choice rather than just being deadpanned into it. I think it would send a message to the club about having your support as a season ticket holder, to even if you're going to say that you're going to take an option that you're automatically enrolled in, I think it would mean something by reaching out. I know I already reached out. I think it's a personal preference, but I think it does say something good about your view of the club and looking forward.
Yeah, I said somewhere back in like March or April, like, you know, keep my money, sign me up for next year also. So I've already turned in my thing for option A. You know what has me excited, and it feels like bad to be excited or about anything lately, but the fact that it's a commemorative custom designed jersey, that means it's not Nike. They're not getting a batch of custom. So Is this kind of a sign towards a future of starting to do kits with outside designers like a lot of us have been talking about, getting away from that Nike status symbol to something with a little more creativity and interest?
So what I would say about this is to not get your hopes up, because
too bad
we don't know what that means. I mean, honestly, they've probably got so many old jerseys laying around of unsold jerseys and designs that they might just take those jerseys and put on a patch on it and maybe a little thing on the backside or something like that, and then just call it a commemorative special edition thing. There's no guarantee it's something from scratch. So I would caution getting your hopes up about something like that.
Too late. Already up. Can't do anything about it.
You're welcome.
I just hope it has a little like coronavirus patch on the sleeve or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like 2020, but the zeros are little viruses or something. All right. So with that stuff out of the way, let's take a look. And I was joking around that I treated today like it's our first kind of show for the restart about, you know, like an actual show. We're heading out of the quarantine sessions into somewhat of a return to normal for broadcasting. So I treated it like a game day. I got up, did a walk around the neighborhood to stretch my legs, took an afternoon nap to be ready for it. And then I realized we're previewing Atlanta. Doesn't require a ton of, like, almost as little effort as it takes to play them. I'm really going to put all this jinxing into it right now. All this karma's coming back to me over the weekend. But we're going to talk a little bit about the matchup against Atlanta this weekend. They lost a game. Their only game so far. There's very little that we know about this team right now, including what the actual roster is. I'll actually pull up here, see if there's been any changes in the last couple of days. Head coach is Stephen Glass. He was named manager on January 30th, 2019. Former Shamrock Rovers assistant and Atlanta United FC Academy coach. Had a playing career with Aberdeen, Newcastle, Watford, Hibernian, Dunfermline, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing all these wrong. Dunfermline Athletic, and just to show you how long ago it was, the Carolina Railhawks. Had one cap for Scotland, three for Scotland B, and 11 for the Scotland U21s, scoring three goals altogether. Last season, Atlanta was 9-17-8, 14th placed in the East, did not qualify for the playoffs. This season, they are 0-1-0 on the season. They lost 1-0 to Charleston in week one, so they've already played an in-group game. Currently sitting bottom of the Group H table. Some of the notable players. Goalkeeper Ben Lundgaard spent 2018-2019 on loan to Indy and Pittsburgh from Columbus. Reminds me of the movie Fargo every time I hear Lundgaard. Defender George Bello is signed to the senior team and assigned to Atlanta United. To Atlanta United too. I believe he's played a game or two with the senior team. Defender Garrison Tubbs, forward Tyler Wolf, a homegrown player they recently signed to a senior team contract. He's son of former U.S. men's national team player and Austin FC, not Austin Bold, head coach Josh Wolf. Goalkeeper Vicente Reyes, midfielder Will Riley, and Coleman Gannon are academy players. Defender Patrick Nielsen, forward Philip Goodrum are 2020 Super MLS Super Draft picks. And midfield / forward Amir Bashti is their 2019 Super Draft pick. So I don't see a giant change from last year's team in terms of how it's made up. A lot of young players, a lot of academy players, a couple borderline senior team players. They won't have much, I would assume, in the way of loans because of the senior team being in the so-called bubble in Orlando at this point for the MLS's back tournament, which is currently underway with a couple of relevant teams playing each other that we won't bother talking about. Just say it's teams who aren't on statewide broadcasts. So there's the preview. I mean, do we even want to go with predictions on this? Because we know so little. I mean, I, I assume we're both predicting a win?
Oh, of course.
Final score.
Despite all the claims that I was putting Atlanta United to on this World Cup winning platform last week, no, I firmly believe that the Rowdies will secure 3 points this week.
They've got to get past Chicago Fire to win the World Cup, though.
I understand that. And unfortunately, they have a leg up because Chicago Fire's rebrand was so terrible that their morale is probably in the gutter. So I will give them actually an advantage in that argument.
It's
but
awful.
I think the Rowdies take it.
I'm going with a 2-0.
I'm Guinzotti and Tejada. So I man, this is, I'm just not sure. Do we get a shutout? Yeah. I'm going to go 3-0. I'll go bold. I'll do something a little bit out of character.
Sounds fairly optimistic. Are you sure you're actually Steven, or are you...
Wait. Do we have a thermometer? I have to check if I've got COVID. Maybe that's a contributing factor in this decision.
All right, so... We're going to predict an average of a 2.5-0 win for this weekend. Let's take a look at the let's see. Next up on the list, you have in there the Rowdies Community Cup, which I think is actually going on right now too. They started around 6:45 ish. I think they're still playing. Steven, it kicked off last night. You were watching. Tell me a little bit about the Community Cup because I missed the opening night.
So, Rowdies Gaming, Nuno Bianchi is hosting and participating and running a massive tournament. I believe there's 22 players overall. I think they ended up having a couple of people no-show or not be able to connect efficiently to play. But there was 22 entrants. They are in the middle of playing. I think they're actually broadcasting right now. It is obviously a collection of Rowdies fans and supporters from all over the Bay Area. It also includes a sort of mini local celebrity of sorts. Jay Retcher, who is the program director for the Ron and Ian show on WDAE 95.3 FM. He is a participant in this little mini tournament that we're having right now because he has been running an NHL 20, I believe, basically a season on the 95.3 Twitch channel himself. So, He is looking to branch out and try and connect to Rowdy Soccer because he's a big soccer fan. He has been for a very long time. He is a Manchester United fan. So despite the fact that we will have to bless him of his penance and sins before he walks into the grounds of Al Lang, I will grant the fact that I'm happy that we've got somebody in the mainstream who is really making an effort to kind of reach out to the Rowdies community. He's looking forward to coming to a game. He's actually never been to a Rowdies game before. Which in some ways doesn't surprise me, but in others kind of disappoints me. But he is looking forward to coming out to a game as well, you know, again, along with Nuno, because Nuno is in Sao Paulo and he's obviously never been to a game. So,
well, that's no excuse.
And
you just
say what?
That's no excuse. You just go to the games.
Yeah, right.
If Perkins can drive down from Alabama, Nuno can make his way up from Sao Paulo.
This is true. This is true.
I'm just saying.
I will say this. Seeing somebody like Jay Retcher who talks about soccer and he's actually trying to get, you know, some of these old line big four American sport, you know, sports anchors they talk about it a little bit more and they actually watch the games a little bit. And he's kind of forcing it in on them a little bit, which is amazing because it's exactly what we need to do. We have to get these old grognards in the sporting industry and media to pay attention to our sport, because that's the only way it's going to grow is if those biggest faces in sports are talking about it. This is exactly what Rowdies Gaming was meant to be. This is exactly what it was supposed to be used for. And I am super, super, super thrilled. I don't even have a PS4. I've got a PS3 that's unplugged in a different room right now. And the last copy of FIFA I have is like FIFA 16. So like I am looking at this purely from a non-gaming perspective, and I'm super excited about where this is going, because this is exactly the kind of forward thinking and abstract idea for getting people involved into the fan base as a whole. So I love it. If they, again, watching games on Twitch is free. So even if you have it on in like a background or something, just to kind of support the channel and support the guys, it's just worth it and fun to do. So by all means, please watch those games on, follow them on social media. If you are so inclined to join the Discord server to kind of keep up with some of the talk, by all means, do that as well. But definitely, definitely give them a shout. And again, it's already working. It's literally already working. Like, if Jay Retcher comes to a game and becomes a fan of the team, this has already been a success.
I mean, he's literally throw like, out there. He already lost again tonight to a Man City team.
Oh gosh. I mean, well, in fairness, he's very, very new to online soccer FIFA gaming. So okay. Like he's used to playing against opponent, like a computer opponent in a friendly. He's not used to playing against humans. He admitted that last night. So we all kind of expect him to struggle a little bit. And
he'd probably beat
nobody's
me.
Holding.
I'm just going to say he'd probably beat me.
He'd probably beat me. I mean, let's be real. Of course, then again, he'd probably beat me because I'd end up playing with like a Swansea City against a Barcelona or something. So, of course, he would beat me because who wouldn't beat me in that scenario? But
you'd have a joint, you know. Swansea-Lyon best 11.
Oh, don't tempt me with that. That would be so much fun.
As long as John Joe Shelby gets in there somewhere.
In fairness, that's not how they're constructing scenarios. So it's worth pointing out that you can't actually do that. But
you would try. You would try. All right. So that's going on tonight. Jay's second game is at 9 o'clock. So if we're done and off air by then, switch over to twitch.tv/rowdiesgaming. Check it out. I'll probably hop in there and watch some of that stuff before I go to the NWSL game at 10, which we didn't throw it in this week's notes, but that tournament, I don't know if you've seen any of it yet. The tournament's been a hell of a lot of fun. North Carolina is showing why they are back-to-back champions, kind of running away with the first half, the group games before they go into the knockout bracket. But Houston's been a lot of fun to play. Sky Blue has Evelyn Vienz, statistically USF's best ever women's player, left the program last year. Leading in points, in goals, in assists, made her pro debut, came on for about 20 minutes. If you like Juan Tejada, you'd like watching her play. She's always running at the goalkeeper on goal kicks and putting a lot of pressure on the opposition. Hopefully she'll it's actually Sky Blue and Houston are playing at 10 o'clock, so it should be an interesting game. Got to see a total blind luck back heel, near post volley assist the other night that ended up being getting onto Sports Center. Corner kick in from the side, got back heeled out from the near post to about the top of the box where it was a giant looping header that fell in behind the keeper for the goal. And when they this is what I appreciate when they interviewed the girl after the game. You know, guys are always like, oh, you know, it's we stuff we practice in training, and you know they're kidding when they say it. But she was just like, I have no idea. I saw the ball was near me, and I tried to get something on it, and like had her back to it. It was amazing. So tune in and watch that. Other games coming up this weekend in USL and in Group H that will be interesting ones to keep an eye on. Louisville City FC, a.k.a. Racing Louisville FC's big brother, will be breaking in their brand new stadium, which really looks nice, at 5 p.m. on Sunday. This will be the ESPN2 broadcast for the weekend, hosting Pittsburgh. I'm going to have to watch it to see what that stadium looks like. They'll have some fans there. I think Louisville is at like 50% capacity is the max, but I don't think they're going to be that high. But it'll be fun to watch them, see how they do. But that's a game that has some implications going forward. We'll see one of those two in the playoffs, I'm sure, after we win Group H. And also, Indy hosts St. Louis in a matchup of playoff likelies versus very unlikely in St. Louis. So two other games going on this weekend. Keep an eye out for. I believe that one's on Sunday also. Actually, no, I think the Indy in St. Louis is on Saturday. We'll have results and everything else next weekend. Anything else we need to throw in there?
I think that 2020 has been garbage of a year so far, and I think the year of the Zozo is probably to blame, but you know what? The year of the Zozo is not over yet. Pablo Maurer buying the ugly doll, the ugly but amazing Rowdy's doll, has not officially ended the world yet.
But it might be the root cause of all this.
Say what?
It might be the root cause of all this.
It could be. It very well could be. But the world isn't over yet. We come back. We will be playing. Everybody is going back to hating Orlando again, as they should be. And it's amazing, and it's fun to watch. I'm so glad.
All right. Well,
that
let's...
on a small level, the world is coming back to normal a little bit.
All right. Let's wrap it up. We love yous. I think we all know. We're going to have some extra ones too. But, Steven, who's our We Love You?
I think without question, my We Love You goes to Mary and Dieter. Absolutely, positively wishing them the best. We hope to see them again this year. We hope they pull. We hope Dieter pulls through. We love both of them very much. That's my We Love You.
Definitely. Also, seconded, and also shout outs to Sebastian Guinzotti and Jordan Scarlett. Today is their birthday. Apparently, you can get some good sunglasses for as a result. So good for them. All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, and to Shamrock for supporting us. Thank you to you guys for listening tonight. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review this show on whatever platform it is you listen to. Steven, if they want to support us on an ongoing basis, if they want to be a executive producer, a Patreon producer, like Mitchell, who has DM'd me to say 3-0 in the challenge or the community cup tonight in the group stage. Or I don't know if tonight, but you know, 2 days combined. Shout out to Mitchell. Good things happen to you when you contribute to the show. Steven, how else can people support us?
The best way to support us, if you want to take a more active role in the show, we do have a Patreon. It does start very, very cheaply. $1 a month. That's it. That's all it takes. And you can help become a member of the show and help contribute to the show, asking questions, being a part of some of the programming involved. We would absolutely appreciate every amount that you can support us with, because it does mean that we're not necessarily paying for every penny of it out of our own pockets. So every amount of community help that we can get for that, that is the best way to go ahead and support us. Thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. You can get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com.
Are you tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas? Would you like a custom commemorative jersey for choosing option A? Maybe that will come from Icarus FC. Or you could also get a completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team. Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. All right, Steven, I will possibly see you on Saturday. I will definitely talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. I am looking forward to it. Go Rowdies. I can't wait to sing some songs in the stands again.
The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there, they kicked the wall around. The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there, then they pulled the ground. Oh, the Rowdies!